At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of The Handle here on VSiN as my trying to make some bets over here, and they're telling me I'm not in the state of Nevada. I promise you I am. I am in the state of Nevada, so just like place my bet.
I see Circa in the background.
It's like place my bet. How about it? You know, don't you tell me I'm not in Nevada. I am in Nevada.
That geolocation, you got to turn on your Wi-Fi.
Right. We'll try that again later. We'll try. And what's the problem is I'm going to forget. And then what was that horse I'm betting's name?
Extendo, or was it the inside one that you like?
Yeah, the inside one.
Mamba
on three. He's going to win.
Mamba on three. Yeah.
He's going to win. And I'm going to forget to bet it, and then. It just kind of is what it is. So, Mike, I didn't want to like cut you short on this, because I think that this is a topic that is something we could talk about and get your opinion on. Because, again, there's going to be a lot of articles. People don't write horse articles all year long. Then they're going to write a ton of horse articles this week. Everyone's going to be reading and doing research. You mentioned Beyer. So obviously something you at least talk about or at least respect. What about Brisnet? What about Final Fractions? These are all things that are going to be mentioned in the Kentucky Derby preview articles that we read this week.
Yeah, you're going to see four things that are talked about quite a bit. So a Beyer speed figure is a rating that's given to a horse that is based on how fast they come home in a specific race when comparing it to other horses of the same age running at the same distance. It is the most commonly used number, so you're going to see it a lot. You'll hear about, you know, horses have won the Derby, have run at least 100 Beyer in their previous race, things like that. And it is a fairly good number to use, and it is the most commonly number used, so I think it's important that you at least understand how it's gotten. Timeform to me has the best overall rating numbers simply because they factor in early pace as well as late pace to their final number. You don't hear that used as referenced nearly as much, but I do think Timeform is an important one to look at. Brisnet is similar to a Beyer, where you're going to have a late Brisnet rating, but you'll also have an early rating with Brisnet. So I do think that one is relevant as well. And then Final Fractions is what you're going to hear quite a bit, specifically how fast a horse ran the final quarter. One of the unique things about the Kentucky Derby, it's the first time any of these horses are going to be going a mile and a quarter. So the distance is longer than what these horses have run. So a lot of times how fast a horse is moving at the end of their races that were a mile and an eighth or a mile and a 16th makes a big difference, because that added distance is going to factor into it as well. So you'll see that mentioned quite a bit. For my money, I think Timeform is the best number because it factors in everything inside the race. But a Beyer number is the one that's most important to understand, because that's going to be the most commonly used by other bettors.
Okay, so if we, but basically, though, just as a word of advice, maybe moving forward, if they see someone referencing these other things, you don't think that it's irrelevant, right? I mean, like, you think that there's at least some validity to the Brisnet. There's some validity to Final Fractions. Like, are these all things that you're also looking at in your handicapping?
Yeah, all of them are relevant. I think that's one of the most difficult parts about horse racing, is that there is so much relevant data that you have to parse through to be able to come up with your opinion. And you're going to be able to land on multiple horses depending on which piece of data you use. So for me, it's really taking everything that you can into account and then siphoning it down. A big factor to me as well is, what circuit is the best circuit? We've consistently seen horses run well who have run out of Louisiana, out of Florida the last couple of years. So I'll be looking at kind of similar to like picking a conference when you're looking at the bowl season or the March Madness tournament and selecting what conference you think is best. Looking at what circuit you think is best makes a big difference. And for me this year, the Florida circuit was the best circuit to go through. After that, I would say it was probably Louisiana. The circuit I want nothing to do with is California, so I'll be throwing out the California horses. And that's a big part of my handicapping is figuring out which circuit was the best so I know understand where horses I want to play are coming from.
Catching Freedom. You heard it here first, Mike. Catching Freedom.
I have a Catching Freedom future. I wouldn't mind if Catching Freedom crosses the wire first.
There we go. All right. And let's see, we're aligned. We're aligned in our fandom here of Catching Freedom. Over in the NFL, we just had the draft. It did affect some of the odds, actually, a little bit out there. And this is what happens, right? We are a reactionary society. And certainly now with sports betting being legal in more states, your team did awesome in your opinion. And so you go and you bet them because that's just what happens. We are fans as well as bettors. And so we saw some of these lines move at least a little bit, Mike. And so curious as to what teams you thought did well enough to maybe make you want to put a bet in your account. Not necessarily that you did quite yet, but what teams at least have you have your eye on to put in your account?
Well, to your point, Matt, the number one prop bet on any rookie right now is Caleb Williams over passing yards at DraftKings. One third of those bets came from the state of Illinois. So everybody in Illinois decided to back Caleb Williams going over his passing total there. Look, I thought two teams did a phenomenal job in the draft. I thought actually quite a few teams did a phenomenal job. But to me, the ones that jumped out first off was Detroit. I thought that they went up and got Terrion Arnold, who was, in my mind, cornerback number one in this draft. I think he fits that defense perfectly, and they needed cornerbacks. And then on top of that, round two, they went out and got the cornerback from Missouri, who I thought was a very highly rated cornerback as well. So they addressed their issue at cornerback and improved their team quite a bit. Right now, you can get them plus 150 to win the division. Look, this offense is complete. The defense should improve. You've now added two cornerbacks, who I think are going to be able to start day one for you. And you're still getting a good number at plus 150 because the Packers are sitting there at plus 210, because the Bears are sitting there at plus 265. I think they both had good drafts. I don't think their teams were as complete heading into the draft, though. And so I really like what Detroit was able to do on the defensive side, specifically picking up those two cornerbacks in round one and round two to be able to improve their chances to win this division.
Yeah, this team is, in my opinion, a pretty good value right now because you're having all this steam right now of Love coming off a pretty good season for the Packers, so everyone's just expecting him to take another step and that team to be better. Then everyone's super hyped about the Bears and the draft that they just had. And like you said, yes, it was a good draft. Does that equal instant success? Probably not. We don't see that too often when it comes to these teams that are in the rebuild mode. And then I think that weirdly enough, the Vikings, to be honest with you, Mike, I think they're closer to the Bears and Packers than these actually, if you want to talk about a value bet, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think the Lions are a much better team, but when you're talking 10-1 to win the division, I think that there is probably a little bit of value in the Vikings because they weren't that far off. Where would they be if Kirk Cousins was coming back? It wouldn't be anywhere close to this. And I understand JJ McCarthy is not Kirk Cousins, but he is stepping into a pretty good situation there in Minnesota.
Yeah, he's stepping into a phenomenal situation. You've got two very good wide receivers. I love the fact that they went up and got Dallas Turner at 17. I wouldn't hate the idea of looking at the exact results. See if you can get Detroit over Minnesota at a big plus number to finish 1-2 in the division, because I agree with you. I think the gap between the Lions and the rest of the division is significant. I don't think the gap between Minnesota and Chicago and Minnesota and Green Bay is as significant as the odds currently reference.
I agree. That's just, to me, a little bit too fat of a number. And I think we're getting a discount there on the Lions just because the hype for the Packers and the Bears. So do like the Lions a ton here. The other one that you have listed here is the one that I was going to put down. The AFC South. Are the Texans going to be good? Yes, we can both agree on the Texans are going to be good. However, the Jags at plus 110 right now are the Texans to win the AFC South. The Jags are plus 240 to win the AFC South. So we are talking about getting over double the price on this Jags team that isn't bad, Mike. Like, I mean, I get it. You needed to replace a receiver. You went and you did that. I'm not really sure as to why they are the price they are comparatively to the Texans, other than the fact that, again, we're just kind of riding off of the steam that we got last year with this Texans team. I think they'll be good. I don't think that there should be, half the odds of the Jags to win this division.
You mentioned the steam with Green Bay. You mentioned the steam with Chicago. Well, that steam is more prevalent with the Texans than anybody else. I mean, everyone is just kind of assuming they're going to win this division. Let's not forget, if a running back had caught a football last year for the Indianapolis Colts, the Colts would have won this division, not the Texans. And then would we really still see this same price sitting with the Texans at plus 110 to win the division? I don't think so. Jacksonville is as complete of a team headed into the draft as I believe the Texans were. And I love Brian Thomas Jr. I'm clearly higher than him on everybody else. I've realized that through this draft process, but he led college football in touchdown receptions. He is going to be a very real red zone target here for Jacksonville. And while Calvin Ridley is a very good wide receiver, he wasn't a great red zone target for him last year. When you look at Brian Thomas Jr., he was a basketball player. He's got a very big wingspan. He's got big time hops. He won a lot of 50-50 balls in college. I think he's a perfect fit for this Jaguars offense. So I don't mind replacing Ridley with Thomas Jr. here for them. And when you look at the rest of the team, look, they lost games they shouldn't have last year. It's a problem for this team. It had been for the last couple of years. We talked about it during the season on this show. But the price to me just doesn't make sense. That plus 240 is just not in line with what I think should be closer to a plus 180 both sides with the Texans and with the Jaguars. And so getting the extra 60 cents of value while they address their needs in the draft, I think is worth a bet.
Yeah, it's like it's a co-favorite situation, right? In this one, in my opinion. So you still have Chris Kirk. They signed Gabe Davis, and not that like we think Gabe Davis is anything absolutely amazing, but now you bring Brian Thomas in. Like, you got three pretty good options with a quarterback that, let's not forget, we were only a few years away from saying generational talent, all this stuff with Trevor Lawrence and things like that. You got a pretty good defense as well. I don't know, man. I just think that the odds are not as indicative of where the present day Jags team. I know they let us down every year. We get it. We understand. Me might get it, but like the pieces are there now, whether they capitalize on that or not, that's to be seen, but it's a ticket that I would put in my account.
Well, they've let us down as the favorite every year, Matt. And now they're not the favorite. So that makes a very different betting situation. It's not like we're laying minus 135 for them to win the division like we were last year in certain cases. It's not like they're minus 155. No, they're plus 240. They're the second choice in this division. And again, this roster is as complete as Houston's. It's just the fact that the way that the Texans ended the season, the Jaguars did last year, is why you were seeing this number. And so I think at plus 240, there's a ton of value here in the division. If I was going to bet another team in this division, it wouldn't be the Texans. It would be the Colts. That would be the next team I would bet to win the division, just because I don't see that the price is justifiable on the Texans at this point.
Now, it's not as egregious of a difference, but the other thing that the other division that does really kind of jump off the page to me is the Bills are still favored there. In the AFC East, I think the Jets are better. I think the Dolphins are better. It's only a 40 cent difference, plus 160 to 2-1 on those other two teams. But again, I think it's wrong team favored type deal there.
Yeah, I would agree with you, although I don't know who I would pick. That to me is the biggest problem. To me, the most value is the Chiefs to win their division. Like, the fact that they're not minus 400 right now is a little bit wild to me. I know a lot of people don't want to lay 175, 225 before the season, but how are the Chiefs not winning that division after what we saw in this draft?
When we come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Ulrich over there, analyst at DraftKings, see what he's got in his account in the NHL today and get his NFL draft reactions as well.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Handle here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich coming to you on a Saturday. And now, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Jeff Ulrich. You can find his great work over at DraftKings. Jeff, thanks for the time today, buddy.
Absolutely, anytime.
So let's start over in the NHL, and we are looking at, you know, a couple of these series seems like are definitely over, but let's go ahead and talk about some of these ones today. Let's start with the Stars and the Golden Knights. I'm going to go right to the last puck drop of the day. We see the Knights go into Dallas, still two games. They are still underdogs, very slight underdogs here to the Stars, about a coin flip, minus 105 to minus 115 there, and then six on the total. What are we looking at tonight here in Vegas?
I mean, I've gone back and forth on this one a little bit, but I mean, I do like the Stars here. They were minus 110. This was a coin flip earlier in the day. I think you've seen a little bit of what we'd call normally sharp action coming in on the Stars on the money line. I think that's probably driven the line a little bit. I don't know if it'll get any shorter, to be honest. I just don't know how much confidence people have betting against the Golden Knights. But I think that the Dallas Stars, you know, what we've seen from them the first two games, they have played well enough to win. And I think they've gotten a little bit unlucky in the sense that run into a little bit of a hot goalie. Their goalie had a few missteps in game one. But I really do think they've played pretty well. It's just that, you know, Vegas has been really opportunistic. We saw it in the playoffs last year, but in the playoffs last year, they also gave away some games. You know, like it took them six to get past the Oilers. The Stars grabbed a couple games. It's hard for me to see a sweep here. I really think Dallas, who is pretty much the best road team in the NHL, probably shows up tonight. I think they make this a 2-1 series. And at the very least, we're buying low on the Stars. This is the best price we've seen on the Mull series. And that's enough for me just for a money line bet here on Dallas.
I thought the Stars played very well in both the first two games. They need to stay out of the box. The Knights' power play really in the first game made a big difference in that spot. So we'll see if they can do that heading on the road today. The game that I got to ask you about here, we've got the Bruins taking on the Maple Leafs. The Bruins win game three, go up 2-1. This is a Leafs team that is beloved in Canada but cannot get out of the first round. Did it for the first time last year. Have lost every playoff series except for that one in 2016, since 2016-2017. What effort do you expect from the Leafs tonight, and how much pressure do you think is going to be on this Toronto team?
Yeah, let me just make it something real clear. They're beloved in Eastern Canada. Western Canada doesn't give a crap about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Western Canada is like, yeah, go Bruins. But this, you know, this series, I've particularly stayed away from this series for betting game lines and stuff like that. Because I took them over 5.5 games for the series to go. It was a short number, but I took it. And so far it's kind of proving my point. I think these two teams are equally flawed, and I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth action. And you asked me who's going to win tonight. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea. I think this could go either way. My inclination just says take the underdog Bruins in this spot because you're getting the better price. And I think that, you know, these games are going to be extremely close, which we've kind of seen to this point, back and forth action. Now, at least might get Nylander back. They're at home. They can even the series. I just don't want to bet them as a short price, but I'm just staying away from this game. I do like David Pastrnak anytime goal. That is one prop I'm playing. Plus 115 for Pastrnak is a very good price. I mean, this is a player who typically went off at like minus 110. The Leafs still give up plenty of high danger chances. We're not going up against an elite goalie. I will take that all day. And that's kind of my play from this game. I guess that leans me more towards Boston if I'm playing a Pastrnak goal, but I could certainly see the Leafs bring out this game, especially if Nylander is back and he's healthy and all that jazz. So yeah, I see this as another close game. Maybe even the OT is in play here. I don't know, but I don't have a hard take on either side today.
We have one game currently in action. Hurricanes and Islanders are still scoreless there in the first period. Our next puck drop after that will be the Panthers and the Lightning. Minus 125 Panthers on the road. Lightning plus 105 at home. Six is our total. What do you see here, Jeff?
I see the Lightning as a veteran team, and they stiffen up a little bit, and they put this to five games. That's the way I'm playing it. That's what I would like to happen. It's really also just another buy low spot. We're getting plus 105 on Tampa Bay. know, this was basically a coin flip, or Tampa Bay at home in game three was getting a lot more respect. That good road record, it doesn't really seem to be baked into this price now. It seems more just, oh, well, you know, the Panthers, I'll play them in game three. It's just the series is going to end. I'm not so sure. This could be Steven Stamkos' last game in Tampa Bay. He's scored in all three of the games already as well. Still a pretty good price on him for an anytime goal. I don't mind that prop at all as well. Looking for Stamkos to get another one. But I like taking the plus money on Tampa Bay. I think Vasilevsky bounces back. I just think there's too much veteran playoff experience, pride, whatever, to necessarily just give up on them at this price. And also, I mean, Tampa Bay played this Florida Panthers team really close in the first two games, especially game two. I mean, that could have gone either way. So it hasn't been necessarily the blowout series we've seen in a couple other spots. It has been close games, enough for me to want to take on the Lightning here at home again at plus 105, which is just a better price than we've seen.
Now, heading into the playoffs, we saw the favorite to win the Stanley Cup sitting at 7-1. Now we see the Hurricanes sitting there at plus 380 over on DraftKings. What teams have impressed you the most out of the first round? Is there anyone that you've added to your Stanley Cup portfolio?
I haven't necessarily added because I've been playing more of the series prices, but certainly, you know, Carolina, I thought the Islanders may give them trouble after that first game and potentially push it to six games. They've looked really good the last two games. Certainly that comeback, it really does make you think that maybe this is the year we finally see the Carolina Hurricanes get you know, deep into the playoffs. But I mean, you know, for me, like if you're just looking at the board right now, I mean, I think that if you wanted to take a shot with a team further back and take a real shot, it would probably be the Dallas Stars. I mean, they're plus 2,500. This is the number one team in the West. I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to do that either. I'm just saying if you're looking for a long shot to really grab now, well, the odds are big. We have seen Vegas kind of go up and down a little bit down the stretch. So that would probably be the team I'd be willing to go further back for right now. But in terms of like the top teams, you know, I still like the Oilers to come out of the West. I really do. I think that they showed last night in game three that maybe this isn't going to be a repeat of last year where Stuart Skinner just blows up every single night, where they can bounce back, where they can come out and dominate some of these Western Conference teams. I still like the Oilers. It's plus 650, but it's pretty much the same price, or close to the same price we're getting pre-Stanley Cup start. So I like the Oilers. I would take them in a matchup versus the Avalanche for plus 750. That would be the team in the West I'd really be looking at.
All right, Jeff, we are wrapping up the NFL draft today. That said, we are going in kind of like grading these teams, what teams maybe we find a little bit more intriguing after their draft picks. What is there any teams out there that you looked at the draft and you said, you know what, I think they did what they need to do to make me view this team a little bit differently?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really just a case for me of like the rich getting richer and like the bad teams just continuing to just like trip themselves like on their left foot or something. I mean, to me, the Eagles getting Quinn and Mitchell, just falling to them in the first round is just, it's perfect. I mean, getting Cooper DeJean in the second round as well, two cornerbacks, obviously a huge need there. I think those were really good just pickups by them. Again, I didn't have to do anything. I think they just went and took the best player available and addressed the need. And I think, you know, looking at them right now as the second favorite in the NFC East, I mean, that, like, to me, like they had a way better draft thus far than Dallas. Maybe Dallas does something and addresses the running back position, but the Eagles shored up a need and Dallas still did not basically. Really like what the Lions did as well. Very similar situation. Terrion Arnold, I thought, was a very strong pick at 12, getting another cornerback and Rakeshaw. I think that's going to allow the Lions defense just to be a little bit more aggressive. They should be able to play a little bit more man coverage potentially. I mean, it's a team we saw get within, you know, have a three score lead in the conference finals to go to the Super Bowl. They've addressed a glaring weakness there. So the Lions to me got really better. And then the team I really like this offseason, the Rams, Brandon Fisk, Jared Verse, top two picks. Love the Fisk pick. They needed the D-line help. They already addressed the cornerback position in free agency. I really like the Rams over 8.5 wins right now. I think you'll see that number get shorter. It's minus 115 on DraftKings right now. So that's a future I'll definitely be looking at soon.
With the madness at the top of the draft around the quarterback position, you definitely saw some of the rich get richer and be able to draft the top players at the positions of need for them because of that overreaction there at the top. Now, one of the teams that you have as a loser, I have not seen anyone else have, so I'm interested to hear the take here. You didn't like the Vikings draft.
I don't like it at all. I think that, you know, when you look at what they really need, I mean, you know, getting the defensive player and the quarterback in the first round, I just don't think J.J. McCarthy is necessarily worth what he was. I mean, I think that what you saw this year in the quarterback draft specifically, if we're just talking about quarterback, you saw an imbalance. There wasn't enough top end quarterbacks and there was way more quarterback needy teams, and the quarterback needy teams that overreacted, I think a couple of them are going to be in big trouble. You know, the Atlanta's in its own category because they didn't necessarily need a quarterback. I also think Penix Jr. may be the best of those bottom four quarterbacks, but JJ McCarthy wasn't really graded to be like a high first round pick until later in the draft when all these teams started to get more excited. I think the Minnesota Vikings reached, and I think that their defense wasn't necessarily good enough to go all in on here. They would have been better off trading back, in my opinion. So really do not like the Vikings draft at all. No.
He is Jeff Ulrich. You can find his work over at DraftKings. Jeff, appreciate the time, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
67-62, Cavs over the Magic here in the third quarter. If you want to slow down the scoring, that'd be great. Wouldn't mind if you maybe missed a shot here and there. It's crazy, man, up and down. Cleveland team playing well. Let's talk some more Major League Baseball when we come back.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Sumage on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You got a computer, you got a phone, we'll tell you what. You're going to love VSiN.com. Go in. In your browser of choice, VSIN.com. If it's on the mobile, guess what? It's mobile friendly. We made it mobile friendly for you. Mike, this is what we're doing for the people out there. We're making it where if you pop it open on your phone, you can navigate very easily. You can find all of the articles, the bets, the splits, the odds, the tools, the guides, all so, so, so great. VSIN.com, VSIN.com. I know you love it.
Oh, of course, it's mobile friendly. Anytime something is mobile friendly, you got to go, right?
Yes.
No choice.
We got to go there. We were just pointing out NFL draft does roll on. Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. Not a single one. Nothing left. We are in round five. We are the 12th pick of round five, and no other quarterback has been taken.
Well, it's kind of why six went in the top 12. I mean, next year's class, not wonderful. After those six of this year, not great. So you kind of had to really reach if you wanted to try and find a quarterback you thought could be the quarterback of the future. I know we don't necessarily agree with some of those reaches, but I understand why teams at least went for it, because not that much on the board. I mean, is it, you know, Jordan Travis? Is that the guy that you want to go down the list for? Spencer Rattler? I mean, they're not going to be guys that are top 10, top tier quarterbacks quickly in the NFL. And you look again, next year's draft doesn't look wonderful at the quarterback position either.
We get little nuggets come through on the Twitter machine. And so after the Bears drafted Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, he got a text message from Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams said, "Hey, you're not going to be punting too much here." So he went in and introduced himself to his new punter, saying that he's not going to be needing his services. Get it, Mike? They're going to be scoring all the time. Too many first downs. He's not going to need to punt.
Yeah, I got it. We'll see if it actually pans out, but yeah, we'll see.
I like the I like the confidence, I suppose. Yeah, we're sitting here, no other quarterbacks taken, no fullbacks have been taken at all in the draft as we enter this. Now, we got our running backs started going there. We had one in round two, then we had one, two, three of them in round three, Mike, and then now whenever we've gotten to round four, you really start to see these guys that people are just going to take and take a swing with. We have seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different running backs go in round four. So we're starting to see some of those teams where, like, guys, go in and learn these dudes' names, because some of these guys are going to play. Like, the thing about the running back position, you can take a guy in round three, round four, round five, and those dudes play now. So it's unlike most of these other positions, like the offensive line, for example. When you're pulling, when you're picking a guy in the fourth and fifth round, you're just adding depth, right? I mean, these are guys that are not going to see any significant time so long as your offensive line stays healthy. But, you know, we might see some of these dudes play that are getting drafted in the fourth and fifth round at the running back position.
Yeah, it feels like every year there's an Isaiah Pacheco, there's a Devin Achane that pop out and all of a sudden are fantasy stars for at least a couple weeks and able to make real contributions on these teams. It's one of the reasons running back's been so devalued and why you're not seeing high picks taken and not big time money paid, because you can get some values in the later rounds of the draft.
Yeah, we were wondering heading into the draft, where was Blake Corum going to end up? He ends up going in the third round to the Rams. The Rams, as we talked to Jeff Ulrich, he really liked their draft so far. You and I both had talked about this, that we were intrigued by the Rams anyway. Of course, Aaron Donald goes and retires. That doesn't help your position really on the Rams, but then they go and address that need on the defensive line in the draft too. I think the Rams are interesting as well. Just, you know, again, it's, I think we temper expectations. I don't think this is going to be some sort of a 12-win team or anything like that, but we're only asking for 9 wins if you want to get over that win total.
Yeah, I think the Rams are interesting. I think the Seahawks are interesting. The Cardinals should be better. This whole division is really interesting, especially once we see, you know, the Niners just took another wide receiver. So what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. It feels like the writing is on the wall after the first round pick, but now especially after the fourth rounder, that they're going to make a move as well. I think the NFC West is going to be a little bit of a shakeup this year.
So let's take a look over in Major League Baseball. We have our first pitch coming down in about a half an hour. Dodgers and the Blue Jays. That is currently Dodgers minus 135 with Tyler Glasnow on the hill. Yusei Kikuchi there for the Blue Jays plus 114. We have the A's and the Orioles. That is minus 192 for the Orioles at home here over the A's. Cole Irvin on the hill for the Orioles in that one. The Cardinals and Mets. This is Cardinals minus 135, Mets plus 114. Sonny Gray on the hill for the Cardinals today, if you want to check out what Sonny Gray and the Cardinals look like. Mike, I do want to go back, though, to the A's. I know that this is something you said at the beginning of the year, where you just look for when JP Sears is pitching and you go in and you bet the A's. You're doing it again today.
I'm doing it again. Look, JP Sears, their best starter. He's a lefty. He pitches well for them. He's 1-1 on the year. He's 2-1 on these first five inning bets so far. You always get plus money because it's the A's. They're not very good. But on JP Sears day, I'm a buyer. And especially today, Cole Irvin and is not wonderful. You got a lower end starter here for Baltimore. The question is, can Sears hold this Baltimore lineup down? Can he keep him under two runs so that we get a shot at cashing this ticket? I'm willing to take that shot, especially at the plus 135 number here for the first five inning run line. So I'm going to take some A's, first five plus 135. I'm going to play the Dodgers game as well. That one's coming up soon here. Glasnow has pitched well for him. And when he's healthy, he is very good. He's healthy right now. Let's take the Dodgers first five minus the half run. You can get that at minus 105. This Toronto team, they've not been what I expected. They're still not hitting the baseball very well. And Kikuchi, while he does have good games, he has some very bad ones as well. I think he's going to struggle against his Dodgers lineup today. So I've got both of those in the account, Matt.
Yeah, and then we go down to the afternoon games, Royals and the Tigers. This is Brady Singer for the Royals, Casey Mize for the Tigers. It's about a coin flip, 112 Tigers, 108 Royals. 8 is our total. If you're going to kind of big into minor league baseball, Casey Mize was a very huge prospect for the Tigers. Really didn't live up to expectations down in the minors, but is getting his shot here early on and has been okay for this Tiger squad. But you're going to go on the Royals side.
I am going to go to the Royals side here. Like I like how Singer has pitched so far this year, and this Royals team has consistently hit the ball through the start of the season. Detroit started off very hot. They've cooled off a little bit here. And Mize, like you said, top line prospect in baseball, did not really pan out as the way the Tigers expected him to. Now in this spot, we're getting a coin flip. I think the pitching matchup is equal. I think there's a big advantage with the bats for the Royals here. So we'll take I got them at plus 100 right now. They're minus 108. I would still play the Royals in this spot.
Royals are 17-10, 6-4 in their last 10, have won 4 straight. Again, keep on winning, Royals. I'm fine with you winning, man. Keep on winning. That is looking really good. Honestly, so this Royals team, Mike, just overall, just giving this a big picture of this Royals team, the handicap heading into the season for this Royals squad was like, hey, listen, they're going to need contributions from a bunch of young players. Like, this is just a team that has a bunch of young dudes. Sometimes these young dudes are able to adapt to major league game. And you see kind of like what you see with the Orioles, right? Where you have this team full of young dudes and they've been able to adapt and they're really good. Didn't know if that was going to work out with the Royals or not. Hey, listen, so far so good. We don't know. It's a long season. Things could go off of the rails, but they are getting contributions from these young guys. And right now the Royals are really fun to watch. If you guys, like, seriously, they're a really fun team to watch if you catch them on TV.
They are. They're a blast. 1-8-0 yesterday. We both have the win total over in the low 60s. That's looking great with this start. I've got them to win the division at 8.5-1, at 10-1. They're as high as 20-1 during the offseason that you could have gotten them. The pitching's been better than what I expected. And if they pitch like this all year, they're going to be a force inside that the AL Central there. And the AL Central, not very good. I mean, this Tigers team was playing better than we expected. They're starting to come back to earth. The White Sox might be one of the worst teams in baseball. They look absolutely atrocious so far. Twins haven't really righted the ship. The Guardians off to an 18-8 start, been phenomenal. They've also played a very easy schedule so far. We'll see what happens when they've got to get to the meat of their schedule a little later in the season. Royals right now plus 425 to win the division. I don't think it's a bad price.
Especially I don't either.
I think the pitching's able to keep it up.
I don't either. I mean, it's, again, it's contributions from a bunch of young guys, and we've sometimes seen whenever they get into a 162 game season where they've really never done that before, they start to fade down the stretch. But I don't know. I like what I see in this Royals team a lot. We were sitting here a week ago, Mike, and we were sitting here going like, man, what's going on with the Dodgers? And since then, they've won 5 straight games. They are now 17-11, right up there with everybody else as far as the most wins in Major League Baseball here in the month of April. So, you know, we ask, what's wrong? The answer, nothing. That being said, the other team that we said, hey, what's wrong? And we're like, yeah, it'll work out. Don't worry about it. The Astros, since we talked, 2-8 in their last 10, have lost 5 straight and are looking at 7-19 on the season. I think they figure something out somewhere along the way, Mike, but they can't just continue on like this. They're going to find themselves in too big of a hole to dig out of.
Yeah, it's getting deeper, and it's getting deeper fast. Like, they've got to figure out how to right the ship here. And like the Dodgers, you know, they were a team that was considered one of the favorites heading in the division. The fortunate part for the Astros, Mariners haven't been very good. The Rangers haven't been very good, and the Athletics and the Angels are above them. So at least you don't have anyone running away right now. But at the same time, you're already 7 games back of the Mariners, and the Mariners have not played their best baseball yet. They've got to figure it out fast if they want to have a shot at winning this division.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at an Astros team that if we don't see, I can't imagine that we would be talking about an Astros team being a seller. They got some old dudes on that team, Mike. So it's kind of like, hey, if they get out of contention, we might see some guys in new uniforms. I can't believe the Astros would be sellers, or that we'd even be talking about the Astros being sellers. But that could certainly be the case. We got some updates for the NBA over there. Things not looking good from a total, but hey, it is what it is. At least they're looking good for Mike's bet. Updates when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Sumage on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you do not have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, you gotta get one now. We're gonna go in. We're gonna give you a promo code. It's VSiN, V-S-I-N. You are going to make a deposit. You're going to bet $5, and then we're going to give you $200 instantly in bonus bets. You see how that works? It's a trade-off here. You're going to go in. You're going to sign up for an account. You're going to use the promo code VSiN, and in return, whenever you make your first $5 bet, we're going to give you $200 instantly in bonus bets over at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours, Mike. We willed it into existence. We were just talking about how there had not been a quarterback taken in the NFL draft since pick 12. They just flashed the graphic up there that it was the longest drought between quarterback picks in the common draft era. But the drought is over. The New Orleans Saints take Spencer Rattler with the round 5, number 150 pick in all of this. And I said this off air, and I said I was going to say it when we come on. Spencer Rattler is going to start a game for the Saints this year. Derek Carr is the stink, and Spencer Rattler is going to play some games for the Saints this year.
Get your OPOY ticket now, right? This is rookie of the year on the offensive side for Matt Brown.
I mean, in all honesty, though, I don't expect much out of the Saints this year. You and I really, you know, start to look at this Falcons team, even though they did what they did with the 8th overall pick, as kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to that, when it comes to that division. So I don't expect much out of this Saints team. So I expect they're going to be looking at a losing record midway through the season, and there's going to be a loud banging of the drum to get Derek Carr on the sideline. He wasn't good last year. He wasn't good when he was his last year with the Raiders. This just guy's just not, doesn't have it anymore, right? He's always just an average quarterback. He's always just a league average quarterback, and now those skills have declined to where he's not even that. Spencer Rattler will start for the Saints this year.
I will agree with you. He will start multiple games for the Saints this year because Dennis Allen's job is also on the line. He needs to be at least decent this year. And if they start out poorly, the quick fix is to see what you got with the rookie, because that can get you one more year.
84-70. Magic over the Cavs. Slowed that scoring down at least a little bit on the Cavs side. I'm still going to have a sweat here in the fourth quarter to see if we can get this thing under 201 and a half. But they are winning the third quarter here, Mike. 33-10.
That good?
33-10 over the Cavs with about a minute left there in the third quarter. So let's do that. Like, let's hold them down. Let's slow the pace down there in the fourth quarter, play some magic basketball, and score 201. Just don't score 202.
Yeah, the Cavs shot 57% in the first half. They shot 15 free throws in the first half. They are now shooting 46%, and they have shot 15 free throws in the game. So very good defense here this quarter from the Magic, not fouling and keeping the ball out of the basket.
There are 3 more NBA playoff games today, Thunder and the Pelicans. 1.5, Thunder on the road, 209.5. If you'd like the Pelicans to win outright, plus 105. Celtics and the Heat, this is now up to 10. So since we've been on air, it's gone from 9 to 9.5, now to 10 in favor of the Celtics on the road. 204.5 is your total there, plus 360 if you think the Heat could win outright. In the Nuggets and Lakers, this has moved now. Nuggets by 4. It was 3.5 whenever we took air. So Nuggets by 4 on the road over the Lakers. 218 your total if you think the Lakers can win this thing, plus 145. So, Mike, we've seen 2 of these games move off of the number that we took air with today.
Yeah, not surprised. I was expecting Celtics money today. They can't give up 54% shooting from 3 again, can they, Matt? Like, that's the big question. Yeah. You think they don't? And if they don't, it's going to be a tough Celtics team to beat here. And then the Lakers just look beat. We saw the Lakers as favorites in Game 3, which was shocking to me. Got a little bit of the Nuggets money there. I don't hate the Nuggets minus 4 again. It feels like the Lakers are just going to go down to a sweep just like they did last year, and you'd expect this is going to be a pretty good Nuggets performance wanting to move on quickly and healthy.
Yeah, you do like the under there in Celtics and Heat, and again, this is probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just a play on regression, right? Like you said, I mean, the Heat are sitting here where it's not been a team that has been super, super hot shooting the ball over the latter half of the season, and then just have one offensive explosion. So you're just going to go, hey, cool, that's nice, give me the old Heat back.
Yeah, exactly. This is a Heat team that doesn't want to play a high scoring game. That game 2 would have gone under had they not shot so well and forced the pace there because of it against the Celtics. So to me, this total is ticking the wrong way. This was 203.5 when we got on the show today. Right now you get 204.5. I like the under I played it under 203.5. So under 204.5, I like it even more now, Matt.
After the first period, Hurricanes up 1-0 on the Islanders. They are minus 425 now. On the live line, we do have another puck drop coming, Panthers and Lightning. This is minus 125, Panthers plus 105, Lightning 6 is our total there. You are on the Panthers.
I am on the Panthers. I play them to win in 60 minutes here. I think they're going to sweep this series. I talked about this going into it. I think the Panthers are the significantly better team than the Lightning. As long as they stayed out of the box, that's where the Lightning have the advantage, when they're on the power play. As long as the Panthers stay out of the box, they should be able to get it done again today. So I'll take the Panthers on the 60-minute line plus 115 in this one. The later game here, the big game of the night, well, actually the late two games are the two big games here. We've got the Leafs trying to even the series up at two against the Bruins up in Toronto. Jeff Oler came on. He talked about it. I thought this was a close game. I think this is the best effort we're going to get from the Leafs in the entire series. Instead of playing the minus 120, I'm going to go for a big number here. Get Leafs minus the goal and a half plus 215. I think you're going to see a very good Leafs effort here in game four at home, a game they absolutely need to have, Matt.
Our final puck drop, Stars and the Golden Knights. This is about a coin flip, just slightly favored. The Stars now at minus 115, six the total here. Knights up 2-0 in this one.
It's interesting. We've seen this total tick to six. We played it at 5.5 in the Pucks and Ponies segment. It was 5.5 at that point. So we've now seen it move up that half goal. We took the over. I probably would not play over six. The 5.5 to 6 is a big adjustment in the NHL. That last goal can make a huge difference, especially like the 4-2 type final. You're more likely to push now versus getting that over cash. So I would not play the over anymore at six. If you can find a 5.5 out there, I would still take the over. I do think this is a game where we see a goal early, and that generally tends to force overs. This is going to be a very, very big game. The Stars down 0-2. They were the number one seed in the West. Absolutely have to have it tonight in Las Vegas if they don't want their season to end early.
We are heading to Gulfstream today. Of course, we are 1 week away from the Kentucky Derby. If you flip on VSiN next week, you're likely to see Mike Somich. Like, that's all it is. He's going to be talking about horses on every single show because, let's just be real, we don't have any other horse experts here at the network. We have one. He's going to be telling you about the picks here. But today we go to Gulfstream and we start in race eight.
Yeah, this is my busiest week of the year from a horse racing perspective. I'll be all over the place. So a lot of Derby talk coming up here. The draw later today, that happens between 6 and 7 Eastern. Make sure you check that out. Very important part of it. As for today's bets, we're going to go to Gulfstream. Look at race number 8, the one horse. He's Pure Gold, 5-2 on the morning line. Dropping down in class after 6 straight stakes races, now takes on Allowance Company. Has tactical speed and that inside draw should both help him out. Then let's head over to the 10th race here. We're going to play an exacta box. The 3 horse, Yes, I Am Free, loves this race. Track very good horse on the lead, and the 11 horse XY Speed, who should be coming from off of it. So we're going to go with a 3-11 exacta box. Both of those races in the mandatory payout pick six. We're expecting a $3 million pool today starting in race six at Gulfstream.
So Mike, as we're looking a week in advance here, I know you said a lot of it has to do with where they draw, but do you expect the fixed odds price that you can get right now, again, about plus 275 on Fierceness? Do you expect by the time that this goes off next Saturday, and let's just assume he doesn't get the worst position there is on the track, should you put in your plus 275 ticket today, or do you think it's not going to be that much worse by the time this goes off next Saturday?
I would not put it in today, and I would also make sure you know the rules at your book. A lot of those are mandatory, are bets, are action no matter what. So if the horse ends up scratching, you still lose your ticket at plus 275. I think you're going to get between 5-2 and 3-1 on race day, Matt, which is, you know, plus 250, plus 300. So I don't think there's any value in putting it in now when you don't know the post position, and you also may lose the ticket if the horse ends up, you know, kicking the stall or having a fever, right? Which are things that have happened in the last couple of years. So horses leave the Derby. So for me, I don't think there's any value in putting that plus number in right now when it's not significantly more than what you'd get in a week.
Yeah. And one thing I guess we have seen in the last couple of years as well, which I'm sure you will talk about a lot next week too, is we do get scratches. We've seen scratches the last couple of years as well. So that's something to keep an eye on. Again, it's not likely, but we've seen horses not be able to make it.
Yeah, last year I believe it was 4 scratches from the time that they drew it to the time the actual race happened. And the year before that, the 21 horse, a horse that drew in on the also eligible list, Rich Strike, ends up winning the Kentucky Derby after there was a scratch earlier in the day. So definitely happens in this race. And it's one of the reasons why when just a week out, if you're getting the same price as you would on race day, it doesn't make sense playing that fixed odds market, especially if you're playing the yes. If you're playing the no, we could talk about it. But the yes, I would avoid.
I'd like you to know, us talking through the NFL draft today has been a little cathartic for me. It was a rough 48 hours as this winning streak comes to an end. But I you helped me through this, Mike. I want to let you know, as I'm sitting there sweating the 32nd pick of the first round, knowing that as long as they don't call a wide receiver, it's not going to be a disaster for me, an offensive lineman, and it's a great day. And instead, the one thing that couldn't happen happened, and it was rough. But I thank you for helping me today. It was like you were like a therapy session.
what I'm here for, Matt. I felt so bad when I heard that wide receiver called. I knew you were sweating that one out. It's a brutal way to go down with the final two picks being wide receivers, especially after Buffalo traded out.
It was so, so bad. Live Bet Saturday coming up. Good luck on all your bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.